Back here at Rogers Center in the aftermath of a 13-0 Blue Jays loss to the Boston Red Sox. Mike Wilner here reminding you that we are going to Blue Jays talk it up. Should be a lot of fun. And the phone lines are open right now. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. So start your call now. Talk to Gord Brunt. Convince him that it's a good idea to put you on the air, and you'll get to talk to me. But first, before we do that, a little bit more from Jerry Howarth and Jack Morris.
Thank you, Mike. Red Sox win at 13-0. Time now for our game-changing moment brought to you by Mike's Hard Lemonade. Change the game with Mike's. Well, as we mentioned, the old ball game was the first inning, the first five hitters. An Ellsbury double, a Victorino single, a Pedroia RBI single to make it 1-0. Mike Napoli, a two-run double to make it 3-0. And then upstep third baseman Will Middlebrooks. Four straight hits, the batter Will Middlebrooks. He drills one deep to right field. That's heading for the fence, slicing into the corner. It is gone. A two-run home run for Middlebrooks. And today it's Boston ahead 5-0. And Jack Middlebrooks would add two more, three here today. He had earlier in this series. That's for great young talent. And when I see two, three, and four today, that's a third baseman that the Red Sox are going to enjoy for years to come.
Yeah, he had a huge day today. And, you know, just one of those days for the Blue Jays where I think they'd rather forget it and put it behind them. That's what they have to do. It's one of those days that you just don't want to remember. Not a lot of good came out of it from their side. But Middlebrooks and the entire team, other than two guys, Sultan Lamakia and Bradley Jr., were the only two that didn't get hits over on the side. So they're going to have a happy plane ride tonight. Boston is, and hopefully we're going to have a better one tomorrow because we're going to put today behind us.
That's exactly right. Well, now time to move into the player of the game brought to you by Tip Top Tailors. It's all about style. Tip Top Tailors, your menswear shop. This is a tough call because Middlebrooks hits three home runs, almost hit a fourth. He hit one to the wall in left field in the eighth inning that would have given him a 5-for-5 day, four home runs and a double. But John Lester pitched seven scoreless innings. He's 2-0. He beat the Yankees in New York. So I'm going to defer to you, Jack, and say of those two, who do you like?
Well, you got to tip it to Middlebrooks today. Those are rare days. Lester's going to have his shutouts. He's that good. But it all started out with that first inning and the home run that Middlebrooks hit. Plus, he saved, you know, a potential run with a couple good plays there. Another swinging effort that he had almost feel like a bunt on the run, throwing a great strike to first base. So he had a sensational game, and I'll give it to Will Middlebrooks today.
And Mike?
I got to go squarely with Jack on that one. I mean, three home runs, double, this close to a fourth home run. Yeah, Lester was certainly terrific, but Middlebrooks had a huge day.
He certainly did, and the Red Sox pound out 15 hits to win it 13-0. Tomorrow's an off day. The Blue Jays will be in Detroit at Comerica Park on Tuesday afternoon for three straight day games. We'll be on the air each day at 1 o'clock, give you the lineups, and away we go. First up, Anibal Sanchez for the Tigers looking for his first win. Brandon Morrow looking for his first win as well for the Blue Jays. That's it from here. Red Sox 13, Blue Jays nothing as we send it over to Mike for the rest of the afternoon.
Thank you, Jerry and Jack. Enjoy the trip to Detroit. We will see you there. And enjoy the off day as well. The Blue Jays are very definitely going to enjoy the off day. Especially after this. They dropped 2-of-3 to the Boston Red Sox after dropping 2-of-3 to the Cleveland Indians. And they start the season 2-4. Just like last year's World Series champion, San Francisco Giants. Just like the 1998 New York Yankees, who wound up going 125-50. And just like a lot of teams that finished well up the track over the course of history, what I'm trying to tell you is that the first week of the season is zero indication of what a season is going to be like. And the Blue Jays playing this whole week without Brett Laurie, and it showed a lot at third base, and this entire series missing Jose Bautista. This is the Blue Jays Talk. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on a cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And I don't know if I want to feel like I need to nip some things in the bud off the top, but I'll just say this because there was a lot of panic and a lot of overreaction on Twitter today, and maybe that's what gets me kind of primed for the post game. the reactions on Twitter over the course of the day. But it's so early, and R.A. Dickey was terrible in the first inning today. Terrible. Aside from the last batter he faced, Jackie Bradley Jr., who he struck out, everybody crushed the ball off of him. Seven straight hitters. And it's going to happen sometimes. I mean, this is the guy who shares the Major League record for most home runs allowed in a season. But R.A. Dickey had a start almost exactly like this one last April. April 18th of last year, 4 1/3 innings against the Braves, gave up 8 runs on 8 hits, walked 2, struck out 5, gave up 3 home runs. Today, 4 1/3 innings, gave up 8 runs on 10 hits, walked 2, struck out 5, gave up 2 home runs. And last year, he rebounded from that to win a Cy Young Award and be the best pitcher in the National League. So really, there's not much to be worried about R.A. Dickey. Or about these Blue Jays, for that matter, I think. And there's certainly no guarantees they're going to go win a series in Detroit either. That's a very good team out there on the road. Be prepared. They might be 3-6, and everything will be okay. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Let's start off with Frank in Halifax, listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk.
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to echo your sentiments, essentially. Like, the fans are being really irrational. It's a 162-game marathon. If it was a 6-game season, I'd understand the panic. It's not doom and gloom. A huge plus today. Cecil has been excellent so far. I'm really impressed. Just want to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Cecil is a different guy. He's a different guy than the one we saw last year. He's been working on that Steve Delabar heavy ball arm strengthening program. He was terrific today, although Will Middlebrooks took him to the track on pretty much the first pitch he threw. He then struck out the side in order in the ninth inning. He's done that a couple of times. He gave up a leadoff double the other day, or a leadoff walk, then a double, then struck out 4 batters in a row. I have been very, very impressed by what I've seen out of Brett Cecil. And the truth is, if he can be another arm that you can trust in the back of that bullpen, then that gives you a bullpen that is 6 deep, which is really impressive and unlike any other in the big leagues. So that's pretty good stuff if Brett Cecil can be a different guy and come out and have a pretty big year. I appreciate the call. Just getting some news from Eric Prime, our reporter, downstairs in the clubhouse. The Blue Jays have acquired Edgar Gonzalez off waivers from the Houston Astros. Edgar Gonzalez, we'll find out what they're going to do with him. If it is the Edgar Gonzalez I'm thinking of, he's a right-handed relief pitcher who's thrown in the major leagues for the Diamondbacks and the A's, the Rockies, and most recently the Astros. And he was designated for assignment a couple of days ago. So, yeah, it's this Edgar Gonzalez. Last year, 6 starts after most of his career work in the bullpen. So we'll hear a little bit from the Blue Jays and see what they plan to do with Edgar Gonzalez, if he's here to maybe take Dave Bush's place or if he's here to pitch in Buffalo to take Dave Bush's place down there. That's certainly a possibility. John in Toronto, you're up on the Blue Jays talk.
Well, I got to tell you, it was my first game that I went to in a number of years, and what a terrible game it was to go to.
Yeah, you picked the wrong day.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you, the atmosphere was great. Stadium looks great. But, I've got to tell you something. I'm a firm believer. I don't think the Jays are going to do all this. I mean, I took a look at Dickey today, and, he had nothing. And my big concern is that 80% of the Jays' starting rotation are National League pitchers. And they got their...
What? 80%?
80% of the Jays' starting rotation.
So Mark Burley is now a National League pitcher?
So are American. They come from the National League. Sorry, they came from the National League.
Mark Burley spent the first 12 years of his career with the White Sox. How is he a National League pitcher?
Where did he spend the last 3 years?
Last year. Miami. That's it. Right. Who cares? You know, he's not a national.
I think it's a massive concern.
Okay.
And I'll tell you something.
All right.
I
can't believe you're saying this. I honestly can't believe this. Like, continue if you want, but I guess he's gone. Oh, he hung up on me. All right. Oh, well. I can't believe I'm hearing this. First of all, R.A. Dickey, yes, had a great deal of success in the National League last year as the National League Cy Young Award winner. It's not his fault. He pitched in the National League. And, yes, he won't have a pitcher to pitch against season. R.A. Dickey, 3 starts in interleague play last year against the American League, and in 24 innings pitch gave up 7 hits and struck out 28 and had an ERA of 1.88 and a whip of 0.5. So couldn't have pitched any better against the American League in the opportunities he had against the American League. And he's a knuckleballer. Everything is different about a knuckleballer. Everything. So those sorts of concerns are thoroughly unfounded. And again, R.A. Dickey had exactly the same start as he had today against the Atlanta Braves last year, in a year in which he won the Cy Young Award. In fact, he gave up 1 more home run that day than he did today. Dan is in Waterloo. Dan, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike.
All right, thanks.
You know, great news about Brad Laurie. I'm pretty excited about that because he's
what
been
news?
Glaring. About him doing batting practice. That's a big step, I think.
I wouldn't get too excited about it. I still think there are going to be a couple of weeks until we see Brett Laurie back.
I guess it's kind of just looking for a positive after that right now.
They could really use him, that's for sure.
Yeah. First off, I just wanted to say I'm a little bit surprised and a little bit disappointed by Melky Cabrera's defense. I thought he was a lot better than that.
No, I think he's played exactly the way I figured he would. He's an okay defensive player. He's not spectacular. His arms is supposed to kind of make up for whatever deficiencies he has otherwise. But we've seen his arm be pretty erratic so far.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Okay. Well, I was just expecting a bit more from him. But I got to say, I'm a little disappointed to be a Blue Jays fan today. And don't get me wrong, it's not because of the team. I have zero worries about them. But I am just embarrassed to be associated with some of the people at that stadium and some of the people all into the show. Because booing your own team and, you know, running onto the field, it's just childish. And it really gives Toronto a really bad image amongst the rest of the league. And I think it's just really disappointing to see.
Yeah, I was disappointed by it too. And you know what, especially for this whole weekend of all the John Farrell stuff and how everyone was excited to come here and boo John Farrell, to put on a display like that today, you know, in front of him, it really, I mean, how does that look to Farrell? He's, thank God I got out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't understand why. I'll never understand, and I had a debate on Twitter for the first 4 innings of the game. I will never understand why fans boo their own team. I just don't get that at all. You know, R.A. Dickey's won Cy Young. It's his second start as a Blue Jay, and he gets booed off the field by some of the fans here at the ballpark. You know, that's how you want to welcome a guy to Toronto? It's crazy. And these are the same people who are going to be head over heels in love with him when he's 13-4 or however the year is going to turn out. And yeah, I feel exactly the same way as you, Dan, and I appreciate the call and the comments. Thank you. We are Blue Jays Talking It Up, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance is 1-888-666-0590. And we got a press release now from the Blue about this waiver claim. We don't know whether Edgar Gonzalez is going to join the team or be assigned to Buffalo. He's a 6'2", 210-pound right-handed pitcher who made 6 starts for the Astros last year, had a 5.04 ERA. In order to make room for Edgar Gonzalez on the 40-man roster, the Blue Jays have transferred Dustin McGowan, to the 60-day disabled list. So McGowan will not be pitching in the major leagues until at least the end of May, if that. Ken in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Ken, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Mike, we were down there at the game today, and, you know, granted, there was eight of us pretty disappointed in the performance of the Jays. And, you know, to the last caller about people booing players, I got to tell you, when you're down there and you've got 42,000 people and you can't even get a run and show any type of emotion whatsoever. I mean, Dickey should have been taken out after the second inning.
Why?
Why? The guy was giving, with the exception of the second inning, he was giving up a run every inning.
At the end of the second inning, he'd retired six of seven guys and struck out three of them. Why would you take him out there?
You take him out, right? Okay, you take him on the third inning. He gave up another run. You can tell he didn't have this stuff. I mean, Gibbons, I mean, there wasn't even anybody standing up in the bullpen.
R.A. Dickey was fine after the fifth batter of the ball game. There was nothing wrong with the way he pitched after he was already down 5-0. I understand that, but there's no point in time when you look at him and say, oh, my God, they got to get this guy out right now once it was 5-0. If you're not going to take him out there, then you let him go as long as he was still pitching all right, and he was.
Well, I guess the whole thing is that, you know, with Gibbons, and I know I'm not trying to just go on to Gibbons and did they make the right choice or not, but I have to tell you, I mean, there's a lot of question marks around. First of all, this team is not hitting. As much as we want to talk about, you know, they're still in the game, they're not scoring with the exception of yesterday.
They're leading the major leagues in home runs.
That's it. I mean, you're not going to win this thing with just home runs. You know that. It's about averages. And, you know, you look at this team, you got Eric Anuncion. He's still batting under 100.
Yes,
there is a problem with the team right now.
No, there isn't.
You can see it.
No, there's no problem with the team. They're not playing well right now. They're losing games right now. There's a big difference between that and there's a problem with the team right now. And also, by the way, the batting average isn't there. But it's not batting average. It's about getting on base and scoring runs. And the Blue Jays didn't score any runs today, that's for sure.
They're not scoring. They're not getting on base. And, I mean, you know, you're down 5-0. You think you'd come back out there, get a couple of base hits, get tight in the game, make some changes, bring some other batters in. I mean, it just seemed like
seriously?
They were flat.
You want to be pinch hitting for people in the skin inning because you're down 5-0?
No. Listen, you're in the fifth inning. You still haven't pinched at anybody.
Right.
I mean, there was no changes made whatsoever.
No, it's not a hockey game, Ken. You don't shift on the fly. You've got two guys on your bench. You've got a left-handed pitcher in there because somebody's 0-for-1 or 0-for-2 doesn't mean you start running pinch hitters out there because you're losing 5-0.
And what's up with Batista? Why wasn't he in today?
He's hurt.
And Rasmus, too?
No, Rasmus isn't hurt. Rasmus had the day off against a tough lefty.
I would have had him in that game. No, hands down, I would have had him in the game. I mean, the guy came off a huge high last night. I mean, we were expecting to see him go back out there. And sure enough, bring him in even to pinch hit, for God's sake. I mean, do something.
Yeah, I appreciate the passion, Ken, and I'm sorry that you came down to the game and had to come to such a stinker today. I do appreciate your passion and enthusiasm, and I hope you maintain that. But and I appreciate the call too. Thank you. That's just not the way baseball's played. You don't make line changes in the third inning when you're down by a bunch. You know, it's you don't get a pitcher who's had a rough beginning to an outing but who has settled down and is pitching well, you don't take him out of a game. You let him throw a few more innings and continue to pitch okay. That's how you play this game. Antonio is in Ottawa listening on the Team 1200. Antonio, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. I'm just calling. You know, today was a terrible, disappointing day.
Yep.
For the team and R.A. Dickey.
Yep.
But, you know, I think we need to put things into perspective. Today, in the same day that R.A. Dickey had a really bad day, so did Cole Hamill, so did David Price, you know, other teams' number ones. And, you know, out of a season where they're going to have 32 starts or so, each of those guys are going to have bad starts here and there. And I just think the fans need to calm down. And this overreaction on Twitter, I was fighting with so many fans today on Twitter, and the overreaction has to do a lot with a lot of these fans have not been around the team for so many years. And
yeah,
now
I don't know if I get that, though. I mean, I saw that on Twitter, too, people complaining about casual fans and fair-weather fans. I mean, do fans who haven't been watching baseball for a long time not like did they think it's a 40 game season or something? I can't believe that's true. I don't think that's an excuse.
No, but like they expect instant results, right? So they're not really the loyal fans who know the grind of a 162 game season, right? And you know, it's not necessarily how you start, but it's the consistency throughout the 162 game schedule, right?
All right.
So you know, that's sort of what's unsettling. And you know what's adding fuel to the fire? The U.S. media. I just think the Boston media has been ripping on the fans. I think also John Haynes saw a tweet of John Heyman already comparing us to the Miami Marlins, which I thought was ridiculous. You know, I just, you know, we're six games into the season, and, you know, we didn't have Bautista for three straight games. We haven't had Brett Laurie at third base for any of the games this season. So I just think everybody just needs to calm down, enjoy the games, and I'm sure this team's going to be okay. And also, on another comment, JPR and Stevia, people keep on ripping on this guy. And, you know, I'm a JPR and Stevia fan. I was happy that Travis d'Arnaud got traded instead of JPR and Stevia. So I just think everybody just needs to calm down in general.
I'll agree. Everyone definitely needs to calm down in general. Thank you, Antonio. But you know what? It's great to see passion and excitement, and all of that passion and excitement is going to change one hopes from this overwhelming negativity that's happening right now to very, very happy people who are very, very excited about this team once it starts to play well. Again, this is not trying to tell you that what's happening is not happening. This is trying to tell you that what's happening is really not an indication of what's going to happen. They are not playing well right now. There's no question. They're not playing well right now. But that doesn't mean they're not a good team. Joel in Toronto, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you. I was at the game today, and I got to say I was pretty embarrassed by the fan reaction throughout the game, not just, you know, booing R.A. Dickey. I thought that was kind of upsetting, considering it's his second start, you know, in a Blue Jays uniform. But between that and the paper airplanes and two fans running onto the field, just the drunkenness of our fans, and it's maybe you can blame the fact that it's, you know, 13-0 blowout, but really, I've been to other games in other ballparks before, and it just seems like a Toronto thing to be overtly negative. And get on the case of the players, and maybe they're booing the moment instead of the actual player. But I can't understand the fans. When I'm there, I just want to tell everyone to be quiet. It's unbelievable. And you know, as someone who plays a sport myself, I couldn't imagine being booed when I'm trying my best. And I just think it needs to stop. And I think people need to chill out. It's 1 week in the season. It's a long season, 162 games. You can't base anything off this first week, really. I mean, yeah, they're not playing well, but good things are going to happen. You need to be quiet in the game, cheer, be patient, but really, don't boo your own players. Really, that's it.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. I love to hear from people who think it's okay to boo your own players, because I just don't understand it. Oh, you pay your money. You have the right to do whatever you want within reason. You paid for your ticket, but why would you want to boo your own players? We'll take more of your phone calls after the bottom of the hour on our flag station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, where we will continue Blue Jays talk until 5 o'clock Eastern. Right now, though, listen in on the skipper. Hear what John Gibbons had to say about this 13-0 loss to Boston.
No, I'm not concerned. You know, it's two games in. He's gonna have a great year for us. They just hit him. They just hit him hard. I don't know any other way to describe it. You know, they had some good at bats on him. Usually, you get a lot of flailing at the knuckleball today. They hit some, you know, they stayed on the ball and did a great job with him. You know, they had the big cushion. And Lester was really too good today for us to mount any comeback. Sometimes you'll have games like that where they score early, and the other team climbs back in. But you know, Lester was too good for that today. So, but as far as Dickey, you know, I didn't see anything that jumped out at me other than that they hit him.
John, when Bush was in, was it one of those situations where normally you would have pulled him by then. It's one of those things where someone you need him to just suck it up and push it out because you don't want to have a lot of your regular guys going there.
You're down so much right then, and you don't want to have to use the other guys. I mean, some games you got to wear it. You know, it's unfortunate, you know, in front of a good crowd at home early in the season. You don't like to do that, but you got to do it. You know, when you think, you got to think down the road, you know. The easy thing to do is go and throw your top guys in there, and you know, that starts setting you back. But, you know, Bushy, hey, he competed and he battled. It was just their day. I mean, they got a good lineup, too. You know, it's, you know, Boston had a tough year last year, but they look like they've moved past that, and they brought in some guys that can play. So, when you don't pitch, they can hurt you.
Hey, Gibby, do you think that the rough first there for Dickey had any impact on the offense? You said, you know, Lester was hard to hit tonight, but just kind of the not being able to get anything going offensively?
Well, it's never easy when you get behind big early. I mean, that's kind of the way the game is. I mean, you will see some games, like I said earlier, that where you climb back in or you get on the board yourself, and it's a new look. But, you know, he shut us down right away. It's tough at this level when you get their ace on the mound. That's a tough deficit to overcome. There really is.
In the early going during the game, was there any discussion in the dugout involving Dickey where he talked about what wasn't working, what he was challenged with today?
No, during the game, no. I mean, he's with his catcher. You know, he talks to the pitching coach. But Ari, you know, he gets locked into his game. I mean, he comes in the dugout, he's sitting there concentrating on what he's got. So there's not a give and take other than normally with his catcher.
Gibby, a bit of a rough opening homestand for you guys, but with the combination of the off day and then getting out on the road, do you think that has the ability to give you guys a bit of a fresh start, maybe take a little pressure off this team?
You know, I don't know. I don't sense that we feel pressure, being with you. I mean, we got some guys in the lineup that are cold swinging the bats. Like I said, we fell behind early today, you know, with – you know, they scored big, so maybe it'll help. I don't know, but I really don't sense any pressing going on. But you know what? You can't always look inside guys either. So, but it'll be nice down the road. But I tell you, you know, the crowds are tremendous, and they gave us a boost. It was good playing in front of your home crowd when they were into it. We're disappointed we laid an egg in front of them today, but we'll give them a reason before it's all said and done to come back.
Something of a silver lining. Brett Cecil strikes out another three guys. That's, I think, seven straight for him. Can you just talk about what's working for him at the moment? He seems to be throwing his curveball for strikes, and he's got the little bump in velocity, too.
Yeah, that's, you know, the thing about Cecil, he's not an unknown. You know, he won a lot of games as a starter here years ago, so, you know, the organization, everybody expects a lot out of him, and he expects a lot out of himself, and you know, he kind of had that tough year last year, too, where he lost his velocity, like you guys talked about. But he still got it. When he's pitching with his curveball and his changeup, his fastball is that much better. I mean, they're all that way. And he just can't – he's not one of those guys he can just live and die with his fastball because, I mean, it's good, but there's very few guys that can do that. So when he's pitching, it makes everything better, you know. And then he's got that – I mean, he keeps him off balance, left-handers and right-handers, you know. So, but, yeah, that's – his start's big for him. You know, we really didn't know what to expect, to be honest with you. And I know he's got a ton of confidence now, and we got confidence in him.
That's John Gibbons on today's loss. Rough outing, but the Blue Jays will shake it off and come back Tuesday on the road in Detroit. We'll come back and put a nice pretty bow on this thing and get you set up for that Tiger series. It's the Honda Post Game Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network.
Straight hits the batter, Will Middlebrooks. He drills one deep to right field. That's heading for the fence, slicing into the corner. It is gone. A two-run home run for Middlebrooks. And today it's Boston ahead 5-0.
3-2 pitch swung on and belted to left field. That is way back. And that is Will Middlebrooks' second home run of the day. Into the 200 level, make it 8-0 Red Sox.
Fastball hit deep the left center field. Has he done it again? That ball's up. And there is a third home run today for Will Middlebrooks. And fourth in the series this weekend. Boston leads it 9-0. What a show this young second-year third baseman is putting on for Boston.
That was a show. He had a double as well in there, did Will Middlebrooks, and almost went deep a fourth time. He took Dave Bush to the warning track in left field in the eighth inning. And it was hauled in by Melky Cabrera. Blue Jays lose 13-0 to the Boston Red Sox. They dropped the series, second series loss of the season. And now they get a day off. We're heading out to Detroit for the first of three tomorrow. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. And we will try to get to as many of you as possible before we get to the top of the hour and Rob Wong takes over. Let's go out to Gatineau, listening on News Talk 1310. Malcolm, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
First of all, can I make a little correction? It's all News 1310. And the previous Ottawa caller had it the wrong station. Last year, that station had it. They don't have it this year, thank God, because they refused.
Well, we ask you where you're calling from, so it was his fault.
Yeah. I know what station I'm listening to.
Good.
And so I'd just like to say this. You know, fans have to remember some days are diamonds and some days are stone, especially in baseball. You can get trounced one day and come back and trounce the other guy and keep going. So, you know, the snow isn't even off the ground. Relax. Relax.
Thank you.
It's going to happen.
I'm feeling very zen right now.
Is it zen? I didn't think of it as zen. I just thought it was baseball then. Perhaps baseball's zen. Maybe it is. But relax. There's no need to jump in the team. You know, the leaves aren't turning. They haven't even budded, for goodness sakes. So, you know, just relax, folks. Some days are diamonds. Some days are stone. And it hits every team. That's what I have to say.
Sounds good. And you know what? That's the thing, and I appreciate it, Malcolm. The thing is, even the best baseball teams are going to lose a lot of games. And some of them are going to be ugly. You know, in 1992, the Blue Jays won the World Series, and they lost a game 22-2 to the Milwaukee Brewers. They lost a game 12-1 in 1993. And in both 92 and 93... the Blue Jays lost 20 games in each season by five or more runs.
But I want to ask you something.
Yeah, sure.
Is it possible, do you think, that whether it's a question of whether it's better to open on the road at this time of the year or at home? I mean, fellas came in last weekend, and did they really have chances to find apartments or a place to hang their hat for the season?
Well, would they, though, whenever they open at home?
No, not really.
Yeah, that doesn't change whether you play your first 10 games on the road or not.
No. But then if you play your first games on the road, sometimes you're a little bit more relaxed.
I don't know that means anything at all. The Blue Jays had an excellent record in home openers over the course of their the franchise history, whether that's they've true. Been good or bad.
It's just something that I wondered about. It's an old question that pops up every now and then.
Yeah, no, I think that no matter when you get to the new city, you're never going to have time to settle in, and that's just the way it works. Hopefully that's why, you know, these athletes have support systems around them to take care of things like that.
I would hope so. I probably do. The club probably has a support group. But anyway, as I say, some days are diamonds, some days are stone.
Yes.
Still on the ground.
You're a big fan of that, I understand. I appreciate the call, Malcolm. I got to get to some other people. Thank you very much. John is in Toronto. Hello, John.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Some days are diamonds and some days are stones.
Well, the record for wins in your leagues is 111 wins. So that means that team are...
It's more than that, I think.
Well, whatever it is...
Right. No team's ever won 120 games. So every team's
right.
lost
Let's
at
say
least
115. Right? So that means every team's lost around 45 games. I'm good with that. There's two things that concern me today. I was at the game. One thing that concerns me is that they put up a stinker in front of 42,000 people, which means, or 41, which means that those 41,000 people, that's what's going to sit in the back of their heads for a long time. The other thing that concerns me, even though they don't have Laurie and Bautista, I think the hitting's fine, is you don't win games with hitting most of the time. You win games with pitch, and only one guy has had a decent outing, and that's
Jay
Happ.
Brandon Morrow was phenomenal in his stuff.
No, that's true. You're right. You're right. And he had a great outing, too. But, you know, Bautista and Laurie can't pitch. And 3 out of 5 poor outings, and really the game Morrow pitched, he had a great outing, but they still ended up losing that game.
Right, which shows you that you need to hit, too.
Well, again, this hitting lineup doesn't need those guys to be a good hitting lineup, in my humble opinion. Davis is playing great right now, the replacement. DeRosa's not. I admit that freely. But, you know, Davis is having a great series.
He is?
Played great today. He was the best player out there today.
And he was 0 for 4.
His was a fielder's choice, which he made that total play. I saw the game. And he had 2 awesome catches in right field.
Yeah, he did. But, I mean, he was 0 for 4. I don't want to pick on Rajay Davis or anything, but Rajay Davis is 1 for his last 8. He's not having an amazing series by any means, but let's not pick on that one thing. You're right. The Blue Jays can overcome the losses of Jose Bautista, though not on a regular basis, and Brett Laurie, but your point stands in that they need to get better starting pitching. And Josh Johnson and R.A. Dickey, by the time all is said and done, people are going to be thrilled to have Josh Johnson and R.A. Dickey here on this team.
I am.
And they're going to take Mark Burley as well.
I think they're great. But what they need to do is, it's hard for fans to get behind a team, especially 41,000, which is one of their biggest Sunday crowds in a long time, that I've been at. I mean, people were, you know, usually you can go down and you can sit practically behind a plate in recent years. Today,
yeah.
People were... I was in the 500 level because I took my cue, and people were pushing people out of their seats. Like, it was tight up there. When you do that in front of that many people, that's the... I'm a longtime fan, so I'm good, but that's the memory that sticks in people's heads.
I understand that, John, and I appreciate the call. Unfortunately, it's not like a team can choose when to play like this and when to. It's not... you're right that that's what a lot of people are going to leave with, but it's not like they... you know, did it on purpose, or if they had tried harder, this wouldn't have happened. We'll take more of your calls. We've got an update coming up from Kayla Harris, who's really good at them, and then more of you guys on the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 5 The Fan.
More Toronto Blue Jays baseball is coming your way.
Hammer deep left field. Yes, sir. Let's admire that one.
On Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's a swing and a slow fly ball, charging hard. Rajay Davis dives and makes a terrific catch, picking the ball off the turf in short right field to end the top of the 5th. Nice play by Rajay Davis. Kept score 8-0 at the time. David Bush would come out to make his first appearance as a Blue Jays 2005 and gave up 4 home runs, 2 2/3 innings of work. And it was 13-0 by the time he was done. Blue Jays fall to the Boston Red Sox. 13-0 is your final score. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. One more sec for you, and we'll get right to your calls at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Mark in Caledonia, welcome to the program.
Mike, I'd like to talk about R.A. Dickey, just his whole body of work, basically, through his whole career. Looking at his stats here, had one great year, one good year, was 11-9 back in 2010. The rest of the time, either been at 500, below it.
Please. I'm happy to debate R.A. Dickey's body of work with you, but we're not going to do it with one loss record.
Okay, fair enough, but he is well under 500 without last year in mind.
One loss record doesn't mean anything.
What about ERA?
And
what ERA?
ERA does mean something, but you also
he's
have to
well
remember, hold on. Okay? Hold on. You have to remember that he's a knuckleballer now, and that
Fair
for
enough.
The first 9 years of his career, he was not a knuckleballer. and okay. It's entirely different. You cannot look at his life as a conventional pitcher and add it to the stuff that he's done as a knuckleballer. So if you want to look at R.A. Dickey as a full-time knuckleballer in the major leagues, then you're looking at a body of work that includes 3 years with the New York Mets as a starting pitcher. And if you want to look at ERA, it's 2.95. And if you want to look at his whip, it's 1.15. He has been excellent.
Take away his Cy Young year last year.
Why?
And he's about a
Say 500 pitch. It doesn't mean anything.
He had one good year out of his whole career.
He's had three outstanding seasons since he's become a knuckleballer. You're looking at his win-loss record, and you're not impressed by 8-13. And you're not
outstanding.
Yes.
That's outstanding. You have low expectations, my friend.
You have no idea. Look, we can debate this, or you can just go by his one-loss record and think you know what you're talking about. One-loss record is something that is beyond the control of a pitcher. He can't do anything about how many runs his team scores and what his bullpen does when he comes out of a game. You can't agree with me and then say 8-13 is a terrible year.
I disagreed that you said it was outstanding. 8-13 is not outstanding. That's not outstanding.
He had a whip of one. You're right. It wasn't an outstanding year, but it has nothing to do with the fact that he was 8-13. I said he's had three outstanding seasons, and I was talking about the three seasons put together. If you want to look at them one by one, 2012 was unbelievable. 2010
Absolutely.
Was outstanding. 2011 was very, very good.
2010.
Please don't say 11-9.
I'm not saying talking about the record. I'm talking about
his pitch. 2.84 ERA. He had a 1.187 WHIP. He had a phenomenal year in 2010.
And he will miss Citi Field when he's pitching in the Rogers Center, and the balls are going well over his head.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, that's to be determined. Yeah, Citi Field and the Rogers Center are very different animals. But please don't come to me with one loss record. Marcus in Oakville, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm all right.
Must be tearing your hair out in all these colors. Listen.
You know what? I think people are expecting things to have been worse today than they were. It hasn't been that bad.
Yeah, and listen to these callers. You know, they go into the fact that, okay, like, I went to two games this week. I went to the game after the Wednesday game against where Batiste hit the tying home run in the ninth inning. And I went to the Friday game, Farrell's return. And they lost both games. But you know what? That's the risk you take when you buy a ticket. That's what I think. You go to a sporting event, yeah, you want your team to win, but you know what? It's baseball. Your team's not going to go 162-0 as much as you want them to. And I think that's the mentality, especially with expectations coming into this year. You know, they made the big trade. Everyone's like, oh, my God, we have, like, the best team ever. And, you know, now that they're not performing after the first week, everyone's like, oh, my God, we have the best team ever, but yet we're not winning. So what is going on?
Yeah, that may be. And you know what? You're right. When you buy a ticket to a sporting event, I think you have the right to expect to be entertained. And I don't know that the people who came to the game today were entertained unless they were Red Sox fans. But you certainly don't have the right to expect a win. You hope for a win, and one hopes you cheer for a win if you're coming to a ball game. But, yeah, I mean, even a really good team is going to lose 20, 25 times at home in a season.
And for sure, and that's how it is. And, like, the booing thing, everyone, like you mentioned, I'm right. I'm with you. I think that if you cheer for a team, you can't boo them. I'll give you a prime example. I know it pertains to sport. I'm a Colorado fan in hockey. We're dead last right now. You know what? I don't care. That's a good thing. We get the first pick, but that's just, like, it is what it is, right? You know.
Well, but expectations are a little bit different that way here and there. I mean, no one, if Blue Jays were in last place right now, which they're not, there would be no, actually, which they might be if the Yankees... If the Yankees won, they'd be tied for last place. So that happened. So they're tied at 2-4. But no one will be happy if the Blue Jays are in last place because they're going to get a really good pick in the 2014 draft. So you know, that's kind of an odd comparison. It's about expectations, but I believe that, you know, unless you have something like a Vince Carter situation going on, where a player just doesn't want to try, then there's no reason ever to boo your home team.
Exactly, and for sure. And long season, you know, long and the short of it, there's, you know, we still got till the end of September. there's still time. Everybody just, you know, drink a few beers, hold your breath, and you know what? They'll come in next week, and maybe they'll win six games, and people will be calling this time next week and being, oh, my God, we're the best team ever. Thanks for the call, Mike.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. There have been a lot more cooler heads call the program today than I think anybody expected. Donald is in Toronto. Donald, you're on the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good afternoon, Mike. We
Hello.
Tell Blue fans still 156 games to go, so why get upset over the first six? So what I'm calling about, I beg to differ with you on R.A. Dickey. He was had a glittering 20-6 record with the Mets, the Cy Young Award winner. Naturally, you can understand the fans. Their expectations, like mine, are high for R.A. Dickey.
Well, they should be.
Well, exactly, and they were.
They still should be.
This second performance, no, not after this second start.
Why not?
0-2. Well, the knuckleball, it wasn't moving. It wasn't dancing, so to speak.
Not in the first inning. Not in the first inning.
But they hit him.
Yeah.
Bill Middlebrook's an average hitter, three home runs against Blue Jay pitching. That shouldn't happen.
But it's going to happen.
Well,
and
it did
you
happen.
Know what? Lots of guys who shouldn't hit three home runs in a game hit three home runs in a game, which is not to say that Will Middlebrooks is not be a very good hitter. He certainly could. It's, you know, he's had a half season in the major leagues. He's a pretty highly touted young guy.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
but you'd
be calling
have to agree
him.
With me that a lot of Dickey's pitches were very hittable.
Well, of course they were.
He got
crushed today.
Five to nothing very quickly.
But he had the Donald, he had the exact same start a year ago. Same start.
Maybe his third start might accomplish something. I hope so. I hope he gathers his thoughts and thinks about his pitches and why they didn't move as much as they might have or they should have. And that's why Boston clobbered his pitches. Like, that's the long and short of it. So, you know, 8-0, then 13-0. Well, you know, it's a disappointment to the fans.
And, yeah, as it should be.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. No one's asking any fans to be happy about this game. This game was terrible. And the Blue Jays had a terrible week, although they played a great game yesterday. But, you know, 2-4 is a bad week. You should be disappointed. You should not be writing off R.A. Dickey. Aaron is in Toronto. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike. Actually, since we've gotten R.A. Dickey, I've been trying to do some research into the knuckleball. And I think a lot of fans are really interested. R.A. Dickey, I know last year he had a great game against Tampa Bay, I believe it was, in the Dome. And I want to know, basically, I hope you're more educated than me on the matter, how does the Dome affect the pitch? A pitch that doesn't win is changes based on wind and how the ball moves is really what makes the pitch so good.
Well, the wind can play on it a whole bunch of different ways. That's the thing. Like if you're outside and you have the wind blowing behind you, it's going to straighten out the knuckleball and make it tough. If you have the wind blowing in the pitcher's face, that's when the knuckleball is at its most devastating. And honestly, side would just push the ball one way or the other. But every knuckleballer I've heard from says it's much better to pitch in a still environment where there are as few outside forces as possible acting on the ball, so it's just free to kind of float through its path, however that is.
Right. So, obviously, depending on when the ball can either be positively affected or negatively affected. So you think Dickey will be a fine pitcher at home?
Tim Wakefield loved pitching indoors. R.A. Dickey said he loves pitching indoors. Yeah, knuckleballers love to be in places where there's nothing acting on the ball, where it's just allowed to float through.
Right. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Continue to enjoy your knuckleball research. It's appreciated. Blue Jays lose 13-0 today. After the game, they claim Edgar Gonzalez, a righty from the Astros, but no word on whether or not he'll be on the big league team. Dustin McGowan's been moved to the 60-day disabled list in order to make room. Jed is in Fort McMurray, Alberta. Hello, Jed.
Hi, Mike. You're a saint, dude. I don't know how you'd man. But, you know, Verlander got beat 7-0 today, so I hope
he only gave up three of them, though, right?
Out. Yeah, I hope
David Price got beat
too.
Up today. Cole Hamels got beat up today. So these things happen.
Oh man, I'm just cracking up over here listening. But anyways, like, oh man, come on, it's a mountain out of a molehill here, people. Come on, relax. And I think it's going to be good for the guys to get on the road, go on a little road trip, and get to know each other a little bit better. And good things to come, I feel. I don't know about you, but Twitter, man, I'm telling you, please stop retweeting the terrible tweets that you get. It's killing me.
I can't be the only one who sees them, though. You have to share in it with me.
It's brutal. Well, I just want to, you know, call and say that you are a saint. And I'm from Ontario originally. I used to listen to the show all the time. So I just wanted to, I figured today would be pretty brutal for you. So I wanted to give you a quick shout.
Thank you, Jed. Appreciate it. It hasn't been that bad. We can fit at least one more caller in. Thanks a lot. And you can keep listening out there. You know, you don't have to just because you don't live in Ontario and I'll listen to the show. Thomas is in Toronto. Thomas, you're on the Blue Jays talk.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Okay. You know, you've heard from me over the years, and let's break it down. This, I'm a Rogers, and I'm giving you guys a plug here. I'm a Rogers customer, okay? I subscribe to multiple services from Rogers.
Great.
365 days of the year, okay?
Uh-huh.
If any one of those services crap out on me at any given time, I'm calling your call center, and I'm wreaking havoc, okay?
Because I hope you're not wreaking havoc.
Well, I'm not wreaking havoc. Well, okay, that's a little bit overstatement. But I'm going to get upset, and I'm going to say, you know what? Hey, what are you guys going to do for me? I'm not going to call in because I expect you guys the way I expect to get service the way you guys advertise.
Right. Okay, hold on a second, Thomas. Let me ask you a question.
Okay, can I finish my point?
No, because I want to ask you this question. If you're a Rogers Wireless or Rogers Cable customer, you have a reasonable expectation that your cable will always work, your cell phone will always work, you'll get good reception, you'll be able to make calls without them dropping, your TV's not going to go out on you. That's your expectation, right?
Yes.
Okay. So as a Blue Jays customer, do you have a reasonable expectation that the Blue Jays are going to win every game?
Okay.
Or the vast majority?
Yeah. Well, no.
Okay.
But this was my point before you cut me off.
All right.
Okay. My point is, I subscribe to two services from this side of Rogers, okay, when I'm watching the Blue Jays.
Okay.
It's offense and it's defense. And when I do not get those two services from the Toronto Blue Jays, I have a right to boo, because I'm a paying customer, I have a right to boo, or to call in your show. How else do I express my, or how else do I show account? Do I make you guys show accountability?
You think booing players makes them accountable to you?
Pardon me?
You think booing players is a way of you're saying
I'm not
you're
saying
accountable
for me,
to me?
I'm not saying for me, but I'm saying that's a form of allowing people to feel accountable, right?
People have the right to do that. But it's not the same thing as, you know, you're subscribing to a service that you don't get. These are human beings who are trying to give you what you want. But because they're human, they're going to be able to do it every day.
But I can tell you this, because I work in the technology field, okay? And technology works almost the same way. It's very, people think that it's dependable. It's not. It can give out on you at any time. And so when I call the Rogers...
I would say that your cable or your wireless gives out far less often on a percentage basis than any major league sports team loses games. Don't you think? Don't you think that's a little ridiculous?
My point is, if I don't get, okay, the service that I'm paying for, I deserve to either call in your show and express my frustration without fans saying, "Well, fans need to calm down." Okay,
well,
because I'm
paying. What are you paying for? Are you paying for a win?
No, I'm
paying. Okay, what are you paying for?
I'm paying for a service either to see the team score runs or either to see a pitcher pitch a very good game, have a very good out.
Hold on a second.
Aspects of the game,
Thomas. You feel as though by purchasing a ticket or watching a Blue Jays game, you are entitled to see either a ton of runs or an excellently pitched game every time.
Yeah, well, Mike,
if you really need to change your expectations.
Aren't you expecting to be entertained either by seeing runs or by even a deadlock tie? How do you measure entertainment?
I'm expecting to be entertained by an entertaining baseball game. Today was not an entertaining baseball game.
Was this entertaining?
No, of course not. But you know what? These guys, and I only have a minute left, and your point is ridiculous. They're not working off a script. This isn't a play. It's not a movie. They are trying to beat other team, trying their best. But because they're human, regardless of how much money they're making or whatever status they've achieved in the game, because they're human beings, they're not going to be able to do that every time. And you need to accept that. If you can't accept that, honestly, then being a sports fan is going to kill you because you're not going to get that. You can't. You can't have an expectation, people, beyond what they're capable of giving you. And that's what you seem to have, and I'm sorry. And I'm sorry that everyone was disappointed by this game. It was a disappointing game. Things will get better. We will be back on Tuesday, 1 o'clock Eastern. Thanks to Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, Gord Brunt, all of you for listening. See you then.